Second reading is 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Please turn with me. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices, the Levites also, with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because his mercy endureth forever, when David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hallowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings and the meat offerings and the fat. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day, they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. And on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had showed unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Then Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, "I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. As for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according to all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of my land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name I will cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house which is high shall be an astonishment to everyone that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them." May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. So as far as this chapter is concerned, we have, first of all, the Lord answering from heaven the prayer of Solomon. And what happened? Well, not only was there glory in the house, we already saw that a couple of chapters ago, but out from that glory there issued a stroke or a fire, some phenomenon that consumed the burnt offering. So the priest could not enter into the house of the Lord because of the glory. And all of the children saw the fire came down and bowed themselves with their faces. And they said, they worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, Ki le'olam chasto. Right? You know that Hebrew phrase. Because his mercy endures forever. Ki le'olam chasto. Okay, so then, as if that might have been enough for some, it was not enough that day. Then they offered their own offerings. And the offerings that are mentioned here are nearly unfathomable to us. The amount of animals, the sheer amount of animals that are offered, it tells you why they were there day upon day upon day offering. Solomon, for his part, as the prophet of the Lord, sanctified not just the altar to receive offerings, but the entire court, so that they could flay offerings all over the court of the Lord. Imagine that. This is something that is contrary to our sensibilities, isn't it? They had just finished this beautiful piece of pristine architecture, and now they are letting blood all over it, with the cries and the screams and the smells of animals dying and so on. Beloved, this is the cost of sin. This is the wage of sin. This does reflect, and it reflected to those folks in that day, the hot anger of God against sin and how heinous truly it is. It is a blood crime, beloved, to sin against the living God. Well, we thank the Lord that that blood of Christ has been shed, and that we no longer bring our animals to church with us for a kind of sacrifice, that our Passover is sacrificed for us, and that work is finished. So what does it say? 22,000 ox and 120,000 sheep. And all of that time, while those offerings are being offered, the priests, the Levites, are playing with the instruments of David, and the singers are singing, and the trumpets are blowing. And so we have the hallowing of the court in verse 7. At the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days. This would be the feast of tabernacles, or booths. This is the month that they're in. And there was a very great company that joined them from Hamath unto the river of Egypt, to the Nile. So many had heard from all over that Solomon was dedicating a new temple, and they all came with joy and gladness to worship the Lord. This is a great time of revival and reformation in Israel. Then on the eighth day, they made another solemn assembly. They kept the dedication of the altar 7 days. And finally, then on the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people away to their tents. So they worshiped the Lord for a couple of weeks straight. It was such an extraordinary prophetic time. Thus Solomon finished the house and the king's house, and noticed that the Lord prospered him in all of that labor. Then in verse 12, that very night, the Lord appears to Solomon once again in a vision. And he says words to Solomon that ought to warm the heart of each of us. He said, I have heard thy prayer. It's a great question to ask ourselves, isn't it? That when we pray, when we come before the Lord in prayer, how often do we come with confidence that the Lord hears? And how often do we exercise the use of prayer as simply something that we must because it's a habit, and we rush through it, and we're not concerned whether or not he has heard, but more with whether or not we've done it. the Lord says to Solomon, I have heard thy prayer. Well, this speaks to Solomon's antitype, Christ. It is only through Christ that our prayers are heard, obviously. No prayer is worthy of itself. But it also speaks to that, indeed, humble heart when the king went to his knees before the Lord and lifted up his hands as a child would to its parent, seeking the Lord's help. And that kind of attitude, which is commensurate with the Lord hearing. And so the Lord will reiterate back to Solomon some of the things that Solomon actually prayed for. The Lord will make a promise concerning the house that if you remain faithful to me, and if you don't turn aside to other gods, then this house will stand forever. And we know that it did not. And we know that the Lord kept his threatening that he threatened at the end of this chapter, that if in building this house you turn away from it, then it will be torn down, gold by gold, silver by silver, brick by brick, cedar by cedar. And men will pass by this place, and they'll ask, why this waste? Well, it's not a waste at all. It's not a waste at all when it is the just anger of God being visited upon his people for their idolatry and turning away from him. Oh, beloved, let us not leave this passage without remembering the history. Who wrote this? Do you remember what we said at the beginning of 1 Chronicles? Ezra. And how is Ezra writing this now? Ezra is writing this now as one who will return to that very land and build in that new house, as we're reading about in Haggai. Ezra and Nehemiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Daniel, they witnessed this very prophecy come to pass. That when the people of God turned away their face from the Lord and worshiped other gods, the Lord took that house away. And now here they are coming back and recounting this history that they might encourage themselves to build again at the Lord's command through Haggai, through Zechariah, and so on. And that they might not do what their fathers did, turn away from the Lord and worship other gods, that the house of the Lord might remain among them. Of course, we know the sad answer to that case. They did not. They turned away from the religion of Jehovah, and their house was left to them desolate. But not to worry, because the true nature of that house, the true estate of that house, continues in the Christian church, doesn't it? Well, with that then, let's stand and continue praising God in the singing of psalms. We'll turn to Psalm 143.